Welcome to the Modern Jewish Girl podcast. I'm Jenna, lawyer by training, writer and teacher at heart. I was a secular girl from New York who happened to be Jewish. Then a trip to Israel changed everything as I discovered the depth and relevance of the Torah for the first time. I created this podcast to share deep, beautiful Torah wisdom in an accessible way and explore how we can integrate this timeless wisdom into our modern lives. As a wife and mother with my own personal and spiritual struggles, I know how hard it can be to show up every day with joy, faith, inner peace, strength, and clarity. I share bits and pieces of my own journey in hopes that it will help you on yours. I really want to thank you for listening. If you like what you hear, please give us a rating, a review, and share the show with family and friends. Okay, here we go. Welcome back. I want to introduce a very special friend and mentor and teacher who I've wanted to have on this podcast for a long time now. Her name is Jackie Glazer. And just a little bit of background, she was a former Today Show psychologist in Australia. She speaks about her Jewish journey, but then she became a Torah teacher, and then she went into the nonprofit world where for many years, she was the director of leadership development for Olami, which is a global nonprofit organization that builds Jewish community all around the world. And then from there, she actually transitioned into coaching and specifically dating coaching, which was largely informed by her own personal dating journey, which she's going to speak about. Jackie is a very, very special person. She is filled with wisdom, relatable wisdom, down-to-earth wisdom. I met her on my first trip to Israel back in 2009. She was the counselor on my trip. I speak a little bit about this in our conversation. And right away, I was struck by the clarity that she had in her life. And I knew I wanted that. And she was really a mentor for me throughout my Jewish journey. And so it's a real honor and privilege to have her on the podcast. Jackie and I really delve into the work that she does in her dating coaching. She also does life coaching and how Torah wisdom informs her work, and what she finds some of the biggest obstacles are for people in the dating world, and what is the most important thing people can do if they're trying to find the one, and a lot of other really crucial questions, really for people who are single or married. I think anyone can gain from the conversation that we had. And I just want to make an extra point that given everything going on now in Israel, I think the relevance of this conversation, and Jackie points this out so beautifully, is that we're trying to build Jewish homes. And that is something that is a direct counterforce to Hamas's attack on the Jewish people, where they came into our homes and they destroy our homes and they want to take away our homes, and we're going to build Jewish homes. So in that merit, I hope that you enjoy our conversation. Okay, Jackie, this is something I've been wanting to do for a very long time. Thank you so much for coming on. You are a close friend and mentor and somebody that I've known for a long time and someone who's so filled with wisdom. And I'm just very, very excited to have you on. So thank you.
Thank you. I'm so excited to be here. And I get such nachas seeing you going, spreading your light to the world.
Thank you. First, I want to get into a little bit about your Jewish journey, just because you have had an amazing Jewish journey. And that's something we talk about a lot on the podcast. So if you could just give us a little bit of background about your Jewish journey.
Yeah. So I was a child of a Holocaust survivor. And so because of that, it was like, let's go as far away as possible from anything Jewish to, as a protection, as a survival mechanism. So I ended up in Sydney, Australia, Disneyland. Wow. It's so pretty there. And the kangaroos are safe. And meaning I was in a non-Jewish school with non-Jewish friends. I was in a grade of 250 girls in my high school, and I was one of two Jews. Wow. And I really had nothing to, like, I was so far away. We did some semblance of Hanukkah with double presents, you know, Christmas and Hanukkah. And we had a semblance of Passover, Pesach, and like some version of a Seder. And other than that, literally nothing. I was not in shul on Yom Kippur or Rosh Hashanah, nothing. Wow. So fast forward, we have some cultural relatives and very strongly Jewish culturally. I mean, culturally Jewish. And they said, go to Israel, go to Israel. And we were like, I was like, no, like, I don't even want to go to Israel. Like, why would I go to Israel? I want to go to backpacking around the world. So I was stubborn, and I did not give in. She gave up on me, and she went on to my younger sibling and started nudging him to go to Israel. He was weak. He gave in, went to Israel, and absolutely loved it. And he started becoming more observant. He stayed on a year learning after he went for like a little quick trip, and then stayed on. And I was like, Great, great. I'm so happy for you. And I was doing my thing at that point as a psychologist. And I was doing the Today Show in Australia, which is the same exact version of what you have here in America. We copy you with everything, basically. And it was the same exact format, like literally identical. So I was the resident psychologist, and my career was peaking, and I was the big sister, and I had it all together. Meanwhile, my little brother is going off the deep end in Israel, becoming religious, you know, and I freaked out. And at some point, when he really became very observant, I literally freaked out and said, "Oh my gosh, he's gone off the wall. I better rescue him." And as a psychologist, I should rescue him out of this thing that he's in, that's extreme, you know, obviously being ignorant. And I ended up, listen, to be in all fairness, I also believe that you're born into different families and cultures and religions for a reason, and as part of your bigger mission in the world. So I knew I was Jewish, but I really had no idea what that was. So I was curious, and I was like, you know, I do know that I'm ignorant about this. Like, I really don't know anything. And my brother, at least, was educating himself about what it was. So I was aware, and I did want to explore it. Like, I really at some point thought I better explore this, and he made it more urgent. And so I went to Israel partly to rescue him, partly to find out about it. And obviously, I started taking on all the rabbis arguing. They had really good answers. I found a lot of sources of the psychology I believed was in the Torah, which was blew me away. And I fell in love with Judaism, and I stayed in Israel and kept extending, as we all have done, I'm sure, at some point. And except that extending turned into a 6-week trip, turned into 8 years. And
Oh my
walked
God.
off the Today Show. They thought I was nuts. And I ended up staying and learning in Neve Yerushalayim, which is where we met when you came on the trip. I was at that point already in Madrich tutoring role, and I ended up teaching at Neve for 2 years. They ended up, again, by complete random, not random, divine providence, I was thrown in the deep end one day when a teacher didn't show up to teach a class, as I was already a tutor at that point. That was like 5 before, five years in, 6 years in. And then I ended up teaching on faculty for 2 years, and then get sponsored on a green card to come to America, to New York, to run Jewish programming and work in the outreach Kirov world. And that's the story. That's the short version of the story.
That's the short version, right? So I was going to say that where we connected in the beginning was when I came on that first Israel trip in 2009, and you were one of the madrichas, one of the counselors on the trip. And I just remember one of the first, like I remember speaking with you and you saying to me like your face is like cloudy. I remember you said that to me, like you're like you could see I was struggling so much. You're like my and then throughout the trip you said your face is so much more clear, like, and because I was getting so much clarity on the trip, and like you noticed the kind of like the progression of how I looked when I came in, which was like confused to like the clarity that I was getting from the trip. I re that always stuck with me, that you noticed that. And like you were really one of the first people who inspired me to want clarity in my life, because you had it. And I remember seeing you and being like, wow, like you had such clarity, like it was so clear that I was like, I want that. And it was really an amazing experience, like meeting you for the first time. And then I remember I was like freaking out from all the learning, and I remember very clearly you said to me, like, calm down, take it slow, and you'll go back to campus and just keep learning and like see what happens. And that was also like very good advice that really stuck with me. And I for sure mentioned you on the podcast a bunch of times, and I just thought you're one of the people, like we call it like a shliach, like a messenger that like Hashem, God sent to help me on my own journey. Because I'm telling you, it was so crazy. Like every time I would meet, we always talk about every time I would like need guidance, you would like show up. It was like the most unbelievable thing when I
It
was really
was.
struggling in that beginning time when I was at Emory. And like, especially when I was really conflicted, should I go back to Neve after college? Should I not? And I was struggling so much. And I remember I made the decision. It was like I made the decision, and that Monday morning, you happened to show up on campus, and we like met, and like, it was like not normal.
Yeah, I was flown in to speak at Emory, right? That
It
and you
was
didn't
not normal.
just showed up. Yeah, it's crazy.
It was, and anyway, your advice has been really invaluable to me over the years. So I just wanted to give listeners a little idea of how our paths have crossed and how much you've helped me over the years. But okay, so you've been on the Today Show. You've taught Torah. Then you were working for Olam, you were director of leadership development. Okay, so from all that, now how did you segue and transition into coaching, and specifically focusing on dating coaching?
Well, that's the next section of my life. I basically have had anything other than a normal life, basically, right? Like, what you think you want a normal life? No, nope, God has other plans. So I grew up, thinking I'm going to have a nice life in Sydney as a secular Jew, and I become religious. So I never would have guessed that. Then I got religious and think, okay, now I'm going to have a normal kind of life, get married and have kids and, whatever. No, that Hashem says no. So I ended up being single after becoming observant for many, many years. And was dating and dating and dating, and never happened. And I really went through the pain of that single journey. And I felt, that was a whole other story about that journey. And I felt really, really stuck, really, really stuck, and didn't know why it wasn't happening. And miraculously, it's a whole crazy story how it happened, but miraculously, I got married to my absolute soulmate, no question about it. And I knew straight, like second date.
Wow.
And I dated many, 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 many guys. And most of the time I was dating, he wasn't even available. So just for any singles out there listening, it really, there's a bigger picture. Anyone who tells you why you're single doesn't know what they're talking about. And yes, you may need to do the inner work, which is what I do now. But we never know. We never know when it is that you're meant to get married exactly. You just have to keep doing your work on yourself. Because there's tons and tons of very toxic, dysfunctional couples who are married. So it can't be that the prerequisite to getting married is that you have to be a certain level of wholeness and health and happiness and whatever. Because there's tons and tons of really dysfunctional people married. Like, God bless them. I don't know if they're happy or not, but like they're married. So marriage itself is not the indicator. Okay. So let's just get that off the table. But essentially, I made deals with God. I made a deal and I said, God, if you get me married to like a great guy, I will help singles. I
Wow.
will help. And I thought I would dabble on the side, in it and keep going with my All of Me work, my
Yes.
Jewish outreach work. And no, what happened was I ended up doing a class in partnership with Saw You at Sinai. And I called it, There's Nothing Wrong With You as a single, because that's what I always felt. There's something wrong with me. There's something wrong with all of society and the pressure, the judgment that there's something wrong with you. And I felt like there's something intrinsically. I have such a successful life in every other area, but this area, I'm a complete failure and there's something wrong with me. And I called it, There's Nothing Wrong With You. Hundreds of singles showed up without much advertising. Hundreds of singles, like 300 and something, which was off the charts. And halfway through, I'm speaking like this just from my own experience and just like, validating, acknowledging, halfway through, people start turning off their cameras. And I'm like, oh, they're bored, ADD, they're checking their emails. People do that. So they're on the thing, but they're still busy doing other things. Afterwards, I had 30 something individual emails to my email inbox saying, I'm so sorry for turning off my video. I was bawling, and no one ever speaks to us this way. And you knew exactly what we feel. And I've never ever been, it's been so refreshing. And I thank you so much. And like literally one after the other, after the other. And I was like, oh my gosh, there's such a need. There is
Gotcha.
such a need for this. So I decided to go into it more full time. And it's now turned into like a whole course that I've created because I really want to get it out to the masses of not just dating strategy and tips, right? I want to make a distinction here. Between dating coaching and what I do. I don't know what to call myself. If anyone has any ideas, I'm really open to any rebranding. But basically, I'm a dating surgeon, not a coach, right? Because I get to the root of the problem. Coaching is excellent. You need a good coach. I often do lives with Eliza Ben Shalom, who was on Netflix, and she calls me her secret weapon because it's about getting to the root. And then I send them back to the dating coach. Although I can do the dating coaching, I have no problem doing the dating coaching. But what I really feel I can bring and give that's different is being able to get to what's going on underneath the surface. Because a lot of the times you have very intelligent, functional singles, and they know what the right things are to do, inverted commas. But they're just not, it's just not happening. And often that's because underneath the surface at the subconscious level, we have belief systems and fears and worries and all sorts of things that go on under the surface. So you can have it's very common. The part of you wants to get married and is really available and wants to do that and is doing all the right things. And there's another part of you that you may not be aware of, but really sits under the surface as like a low grade feeling that's under there that is really scared or worried, or worried you're going to make the wrong decision, or worried about failure, or scared of commitment, or scared of intimacy, scared of getting hurt, scared of rejection, scared you're not going to know what to do, scared of whatever it is, right? Yeah. And all those fears are valid. And if you don't deal with those fears, they will hijack and self-sabotage your dating, because it's there to protect you. Those subconscious fears will try to protect you from that feeling they're scared of. And they will create what we know is a self-fulfilling prophecy.
Right.
So let's say a client is scared of rejection. Very common, very, very common. They go out guarded because they're scared of rejection. So they go out on a date guarded, with a wall up, smiling, yeah, everything's great, doing, being the perfect date, right? And at the end of the date, or two or three or whatever, the guy says, you know, wonderful lady, I just didn't feel a connection, so I'm going to end it. Right. So the very fear of rejection now starts to actually manifest, because
right,
as a response to that fear, she's acting guarded, and right, then that creates the rejection, that itself. So mm-hmm, I help them get underneath that to really get to a place where they're not scared of rejection, and then they can show up authentic and available and vulnerable and real and open. Yeah. And then that creates connection. So that's just a little example of what I do. And I go under the surface. I teach people a method now, how they can actually help get to their own root of their own issue. And again, we don't know if that's the issue that's blocking a single. We do not know. So you can't just point to yourself and say, I'm blocking myself. There are blocks. We can get in our way. We just have to keep doing the work, because we just don't know if that's the thing that's blocking it. But you do want to make sure that you're open and as a vessel to receive this incredible blessing of getting married. We want to make sure that we're really open and available.
Yeah.
And that's our effort. That's the ishtadlut we want to put in, is to do that. And so that's what I really help do.
It's amazing. So it's very interesting, because your background is in psychology. So it's really perfect, because you're helping people kind of do that deep inner work. Like you said, obviously it's in God's hands at the end of the day, but we can put in, there's effort that we can put in. And like you said, if somebody has these blocks or whatever it is, they can work through it. And that'll hopefully put them in a better position to have real connection with the people they're dating and see, you know, who could be the right fit. It's funny, because I feel like you said, there's a lot of dysfunctional people who get married and then they end up, all their stuff comes to the surface once they're married also. That's like another interesting aspect. Like, you can work on yourself so much beforehand, but once you're like married, that it brings up a lot of things also. So I always say, like, the more you can work on yourself beforehand, like, the better it is. No, it's really
1,000%.
True. But
people don't realize that, by the way. Singles just think the goal is getting married.
I know.
And once they're married, because then they're going to feel like they've made it in society, kind of thing. Like, now I'm normal. And they don't realize that the mud hits the fan.
Yes,
like, as soon as you're inside of marriage, because that's the point of marriage. The point of marriage is to bring up all your stuff so you can become whole and work on yourself and achieve your potential. So your zibug, your soulmate, is, of course, it should be 80% amazing, wonderful. You love each other. It's great. You're so similar. You're so aligned. And there's another 20% that you have to bridge gaps, and it's not as compatible.
Yes.
And then once you're in marriage, because men and women are so different anyway, then what you start to notice is your exact patterns fit together.
Yeah.
Even the stuff that really is hard.
Yeah.
And you're like, that's also perfect. Right.
Yeah.
Like, the very thing that triggers my husband is the thing that I have, like, it just works that way.
Yeah.
So,
yeah. They're your soulmates, like your Ezra Connecto. They say, the Torah says your wife should be an Ezra Connecto. Like, they push against you. Like, they're like your helpmate to get you to be your best self. And I do feel that, like, the ways my husband and I clash, so to speak, like, he's really making me better in the areas I need to work on. And, but I would say vice versa. So, but I think
it's a mirror.
Yeah, it's a mirror. That's a good way to put it. But speaking about, like, you and your work, first of all, your psychology background, but also your own personal experience of what you went through, and the fact that you were describing how you spoke to all of these singles and the response. I mean, you went through it yourself. You know the pain of what it means to be single. You know. So it's like, I just feel like that personal element is also really unique, that it's not like you're just somebody coming in, and it's like, you get it. You really get it. So you have kind of like both, which is really amazing. Speaking about your psychology background, how it affects your work, I just wanted to ask, because this is a Torah-based podcast, like, do you find that the Torah wisdom you learned at Neve and that you've taught, like, does that inform your work, or is it more psychology based?
Torah wisdom and the Torah is the frame of the whole thing. So it frames everything. It is the frame. I've done a lot of work really going through a lot of psychology stuff with big people, big rabbis, my Rav, Rav Shalom Kamenetsky, I've talked a lot to Rav Kellerman in Israel, different Rabbonim, and who are into Musar and personal growth and that kind of thing. And finding, you know, really exploring which types of modalities are really aligned with Torah concepts and, you know, which aren't. So it is all aligned with Torah. It's just that I combine the spiritual with the psychological, emotional, rather than keep them separate. So what normally happens in the firm world is you go to a Torah shiur and it's inspiring and amazing and you hear a lot of Torah, and then you go to a therapist and you deal with your kind of emotions and your psychology, but they're kept separate. Here, I find, at least now in this generation, a lot of our tikkunim and what we're meant to be doing spiritually often is related to the emotional patterns and the emotional reactions that we have. Like, they're not really, I don't know how to work with them separately. And I bring Hashem in all the time. So in the middle of the psychology stuff, we'll bring Hashem in and bring Hashem to our awareness, for example. I don't want to work without Hashem, even though technically a classic psychologist would not bring in the spiritual. You know, they would be just dealing with the psychological, emotional. Because I can call myself a coach in America, and not a classic psychologist. I work from a spiritual frame within the Jewish lens. Most of my clients are observant, although I do work with modern, very modern Orthodox and also very secular Jews. So again, I could even work with non-Jews. It's you know, so we talk about there's a higher power, God. You have a soul, and you're here for a reason. You know, that's the kind of premise I start with. And then the rest of it is more about how do I create connection internally between my soul and my body, and between, you know, Hashem and me. Those are two aspects we really need to work on, is really finding a place of connection inside of us, rather than push away parts of ourselves that we don't want to know about, because that creates disconnection and that creates internal conflict. And that's where all your patterns start playing out in your life, when you want to ignore and keep parts of yourself in the darkness and the shadows. Like, the parts that we don't own will show up in front of us as our part of our tikkun, our fixing that we need to do. And so I teach people how to not be scared of themselves. And how to really look within, lech lecha, go to yourself, look within and embrace all of who you are from a place of acceptance and curiosity and not judgment. Wow. Because we often go in judging ourselves, and that judgment keeps us stuck. By definition, the judgment itself keeps you stuck. You cannot grow or shift or change anything if you're just judging yourself and rejecting who you, like rejecting what you're feeling, rejecting what's happening inside of you, which many people battle with. They have a certain reaction or feeling, and then they respond to that feeling with a certain judgment or harshness or rejection or escapism or suppression, right? All those things just keep us locked into that stuck place. So most of my work is teaching people how to get out of their own way and come from, actually respond to themselves from a place of acceptance, and how to do that. Because you'll have a therapist who'll say, yes, be more accepting.
Right.
Okay. And everyone's in agreement. I need to be more accepting. But how? How do I do that? Right. So I always say my course is like the how-to, you know.
How to yourself. Yeah, because it's very true and profound what you're saying. You really have to be able to love yourself enough. Obviously, like you said, there are many dysfunctional people who get married. But if you're showing up to do this work, I have a rabbi, Rabbi Bart Gardner. He said it's harder to be unconscious than to be conscious. Because if you stay unconscious, these same problems just keep coming up and coming up, because you're not dealing with those parts of yourself that you're avoiding. Whereas if you're conscious, okay, it can be a little bit painful sometimes to face yourself and to face aspects of yourself that you're not happy about. But at the end of the day, it's so much more healing and better to do that to keep avoiding. So I think that's really deep, amazing, amazing work that you're describing.
One of my favorite quotes is, if ignorance is bliss, why are more people not happy?
Exactly.
Why are more people
because most people are ignorant. So you would think everyone's blissful, but they're not.
They're not.
It's crazy depression and anxiety in this country.
Correct.
So you kind of answered some of my questions. So it sounds like your general clientele is people on all spectrums of Jewish observance, and then also even some non-Jews. And I'm guessing like ages also vary, and male, female, and all that.
No, I usually work with mainly with women.
Okay.
I'm starting to work with another male coach, because it's really needed for men as well. And ages are usually around, I would say, mid to late 20s up to 40s.
Okay. And again, I think you touched on this, but I'm just going to ask you in case there's anything else you want to share. What do you find? Do you find that the biggest obstacles that people in the dating world today are facing? Like, what do you think it's like those blocks that you were talking about? Or, I mean,
there's five obstacles that I see over and over and over again. Same five over and over again. Why are you laughing?
I just love it that you have, that you're like ready to go with your five obstacles.
Well, this is the same five. I keep saying, wow, it's the same five. Lack of clarity. People don't know really what they're looking for. Like they think they know, but they're not sure. They're not sure if the person in front of them, like, lack of clarity is number one. Number two is a lack of confidence navigating the dating system. So they get really pushed around by pushy people. Yeah. Which is really not okay. And they feel very pressured and very judged, and they're in reaction to that. So they don't have their own confidence to navigate the dating world, which really affects things, because the only person that matters in your dating world is you, you know, about your decision-making around your dating.
Yeah.
So really teaching people how to have that confidence in navigate, like to say no to a shadchan, let's say, or yeah. to walk away or whatever. You don't need that. Hashem doesn't need that shadchan to make your shidduch, and you don't either, right? So if someone's demeaning you and degrading you in any way, you don't work with them.
Mm.
You don't need them. So that's an example of that. Inner peace. Now that sounds like a very lofty kind of fluffy thing, but really being able to have a certain level of calm in yourself that when you go on a date, you can actually just show up and be present and calm and available to actually see who you're dealing with.
Yeah.
And I cannot tell you how many people do not have that. They're anxious, they're dreading, they're analyzing, overthinking, because they're not really present, because they're scared, because they're wanting, is that a red flag? Is that, you know, that's really normal. That's really common. So I help people really learn to calm themselves down inside. Number four, self-worth. These are the two biggies. Self-worth. People deep down really want to get married to a great person. However, they don't really feel worthy of a great person.
Yeah.
Like really, really honestly, deep down, do you feel worthy of a phenomenal spouse that you look up to? And like, if someone like that walked into your life, would you feel on par with them, or would you feel like you're less than and they're better than, right? Like
right.
someone you look up to and admire. So that really needs work. And as you shift in your self-worth, you will actually draw different people into your life,
yeah.
you know, because we attract what we are, not what we want.
Totally.
So that's a really important piece. So we work a lot on that. And the fifth one, the big one that is a block for singles, is a lack of self-trust. It's the biggest decision of your life. Do you trust yourself to make the right one?
Wow. Oh, that was so powerful.
Yeah. Many people are like, no, I don't. So I was like, okay, let me teach you how to trust yourself. How to trust yourself. What voices do you listen to inside? Where do you draw your feedback from inside of yourself? We have different faculties. You have to listen to all of them. Together, they make a whole picture. So I teach people how to navigate that, of like, oh, I have a head, which is logic, has to go through there first. I have a heart, which is also feelings. I have to listen to my feelings. I have a gut, which is like about more safety and stability. And, you know, we have to listen to head, heart, gut, and we have to be able to tune in and listen to our feelings, validate them, and then to know how to navigate. So those are the big five.
Those are huge. Clarity,
confidence, inner peace, self-worth, self-trust.
That was amazing. I have just two quick comments. The piece about confidence, it reminds me of a couple of stories, but I'll just share one quick one. Is I hadn't gone out in months and months. And then all of a sudden it was like, when it rains, it pours kind of thing. So
yeah.
I had one rabbi from one yeshiva who wanted to suggest someone to me. And then I had another rabbi from like a brother yeshiva who also wanted to suggest someone to me at the same time. So they were both putting pressure on me, not like pressure. Well, they were saying like, this is who we have in mind for you. This is who we've had in mind for you for months. And like, so I had to basically decide between the two. And my gut was telling me that I wanted to choose who's now my husband. But the other rabbi was really giving me a hard time. And he said, you know, well, this could be your husband and he might not be available again if you don't go out with him now. And again, he meant well, he really did. And I appreciate that he thought of me and he really thought it was a good idea. But I said, thank God I had the confidence to say, if he's really my husband, he will be available. And that's it. You know what I mean? Like I had the confidence to be able to say that and not get like pushed around and to stick to my gut. And thank God, like it did work out. So that was just one like example of what you're describing. And then also when you're saying that we basically attract who we are. For me, like I really went through that where I remember somebody made a dating suggestion to me when I was in law school, and they specifically said, he's not a Ben Torah. He's a really nice guy, but he's not a Ben Torah, meaning he's not somebody who's like, I don't even know how to describe what that is, but somebody who's really going to like live the Torah as the focus of their life, I guess. So yeah, I remember getting on the phone with my Rebbetzin and being like, I want to marry a Ben Torah, you know, and that realization made me realize I have to be somebody who a Ben Torah is going to want to marry. So like, that's when I started really wearing skirt, getting more into wearing skirts and becoming the person that would fit with a Ben Torah, you know, like externally and internally. So I think like having a vision of the type of person that we would want to be with and then trying to become that, it's very helpful, like you were saying. So,
right. Are you the kind of woman that the man of your dreams would want to marry?
Exactly. And I feel like being single, as painful as it can be, it's also such an opportunity where you can really work on yourself and invest in yourself in all areas, you know, to try to attract that. So I want to ask you if you could share, because I'm sure you have many, a client success story that you've had.
Sure. I have a lot of them. In fact, four women in the middle of the course last month, four in the middle of it, met their husbands. They walked into their life as they shifted internally on a deeper level. It's insane. Wow. Not just after it finished and whatever, like in the middle, as they were shifting inside and learning these techniques inside, obviously that was the last piece for those four that needed to shift for Hashem to bring the husband, right? But literally the guy walked into their life. So that was crazy. And then a specific example would be and I've seen this a number of times with women who got engaged from the course, was when they were scared of being authentic. So I'm thinking of one woman now, I won't mention her name, but she was scared of speaking up and being authentic. Like, she's a people pleaser, very common with women, people pleasing. And so how does that translate to dating? She shows up on a date and she does whatever the date wants. She thinks that's a good thing, to be mevater, to be selfless, to be giving, to be all these images we have of being, you know, really holy and observant and beautiful. But it's not, because it doesn't create real relationship. Right. Meaning those things are nice qualities, of course. But I'm saying she wasn't being authentic and right, real and not vulnerable. And so often her pattern was, it would start off nice, and then after three dates, it just would go nowhere. It would fizzle out. Why? It wasn't deepening. And the guys would say, like, I'm not really feeling it. She would say, yeah, I'm not feeling it. And it would end, right? It's nothing major. You're not saying, like, there's something bad wrong with her. Like, and no one could give her real feedback because, okay, what can you say? It just doesn't develop.
Right.
So she comes to me and says, I don't know what I'm doing. And I've said, you're not letting yourself be connected with. You're not opening. You're not being available. You're not going there. What do you mean? So then when she started dating someone, she would talk to me in the middle of the course, because you can get access to our coaches as dating coaches as you're going, if you're dating someone. Many don't date anyone necessarily during the course. And she said, I just started dating this guy and I'm really enjoying it. And I said, have you told him? I said, she goes, what? I said, that you're enjoying his company. She said, no way. I said, why? She goes, that's too vulnerable. Like, that's too, like, no. Like, she was, saying something positive was vulnerable for her.
Yeah.
I said, you must tell him. That's what creates a bond.
Wow.
So she really, really pushed herself. And I say the same thing also, if someone's uncomfortable with something, someone does something on a date that makes you a little uncomfortable, or it's not your preference and you would prefer something else, speak up. He wants to make you happy. A healthy guy wants to make you happy.
Yeah.
So let him make you happy. Yeah. Right. No, I don't want to be a burden. You're not. This is about you showing up. So she got all the courage she could muster, and she went on this date and she told him, you know, I really enjoy spending time with you. And meanwhile, she's squirming inside, you know, she's saying that. And that was the thing, she said, opened the door for this deeper warmth, and his whole face lit up. And he was beaming. And then he said, well, I enjoy really spending time with you too. And I really think there's potential here. And she goes, really? And then they start talking more deeply. And all of a sudden, she's not looking at her watch under the table.
Wow.
You know, like, in that kind of meaning, it's real. And
the
they got engaged. They got engaged literally a month later. It was so fast and so quick. Once she opened that door to being real, that's what she needed. But she wasn't going to do it.
Wow.
So I've seen that numerous times I deal with the women, but when the women show up and actually express how they actually feel, whether it is positive or whether it's something they need fixed or corrected or responded to, you've got to speak up, because you want to see how he responds to you when you bring up something real.
Right.
You know, there's nothing to lose here.
just a normal girl, but sometimes it's right. It can be very intimidating to tell somebody that you've met a couple times, like how you feel. And I remember when I was dating my husband now, and I got to a point where I liked him so much that I didn't want to open up anymore because I was like afraid that if I kept opening up, he would reject me and say no. And I was so invested at that point. But then I said to myself, like, Jenna, you need to like honor this process and you have to keep opening up because that's the only way you guys are going to figure out if you're the right match. Like you just have to. So, but I got
And also I want to add something in here that what we did that was different in this work wasn't that I just told her go open up and she opened up and that was it. Cause like, again, that's good advice, but anyone can give that advice. It was the fact that we had to deal with what is her block to opening up in general, because I want her to open up many times to this guy who's going to be her husband. And it's a pattern. So if she, even if she did it once and forced herself to do it, her natural default would be to go back to not doing that. Exactly. And I don't want that. I want to have a happy marriage. So we had to work at what was it that was coming up? What was it? She was one of many siblings and she got a lot of praise when a busy, busy, tired mom who loves her kids very much gave her a lot of praise when she really didn't have many needs. When she could just go with the flow, right? Like of what's happening in the house, and she didn't have any needs that were specific to her outside the mob of kids that were there, thank God, right? So she learned subconsciously, when I don't have any needs and I just go along with everything, I get more love, I get more attention, or I get more praise or whatever. So she learned that it's not really good to speak up. It's not good to be different to what's going on. Okay, so that's a very simple, again, we're not talking extremes, we're not talking abuse, we're not talking, we're just talking normal living and dynamics, and you make decisions as a child about what's going on, and then you store those away in your subconscious, and they run your life. Over 80% of our knee-jerk reactions and responses to people are from the subconscious. It's unbelievable, right? Yeah. That most self-development and therapies deal with the 20% of the conscious mind. 20%. So at best, even if you're fantastic, you're dealing with only the 20%, and 80% comes from deeper places in you. So it is very easy to teach someone how to tap into that deeper place in themselves if they want to learn how. It is. There's a number of modalities, somatic experiencing, hypnosis, sometimes craniosacral, any kind of body work. You know, sometimes parts therapy will do it too. You know, you have to, there's lots of modalities. I join a lot of these modalities together in the method I teach people, but you can find a therapist who works that way. Go for it. Go and find a therapist. Make sure your therapist can work at a subconscious level as well.
We all pick up different like survival mechanisms from childhood that we then like can sabotage us as adults. What do you think is the most important thing for people to do if they're trying to find the one?
Really, really know yourself. Like as in, you cannot find the one if you are not really clear and connected and available to yourself. So the first thing people do when they get on a call, strategy call with me or with one of my team to find out if I can help them, right? The very beginning, first thing I ask, what are your patterns in dating? What are your patterns in dating? So it's usually three patterns, one of three, pretty much. It's unbelievable how we think we're so different, but we're really also the same, right? Like so the three patterns are no good guys out there. If I'm dealing with women, there's no good dates. There's no good guys. There's no good guy, right? Well, I know that someone else, their same age in the same city is getting great dates. So it's not that, right? There's no good guys out there. The second one is I get a lot of dating suggestions, but they're totally not in the ballpark at all. Totally like not for me. And the third one I get is I go out with really good guys, but they don't get past one and done or date three. That's it. They're over. They're the three main kind of patterns most of the time. And they usually hint, again, if that's a pattern in your life, then you are the common denominator to that pattern.
Right.
Those people don't know each other. They're the common denominator in you. So you're doing something that contributes to that dynamic. And we need to find what that is so that that dynamic changes, which is I've seen, again, now probably hundreds of times, right? When you shift inside, those patterns will change. So for example, if I'm not getting any good guys showing up for me, what I've seen is a correlation. I wouldn't say it's a cause, but it's a correlation and it fits a lot of the time, is that often people aren't showing up for themselves. They're not really aligned or not aligned, but they're not really connected to themselves and they're not really available to themselves. They spend their life running, escaping, busy. I don't want to know. I just don't want to know what's going on, right, inside of me, but I'm looking out there. I really want to get married. So that's a very common one, right? Another one would be if someone's getting guys who are suggested who are not in the ballpark at all, but they're getting guys suggested, that's a lack of alignment. The guys you're being suggested are not aligned with what you're looking for. So where are you out of alignment, right? Mm-hmm. There's certain, and now I'm simplifying. It's a bit cringeworthy because I'm simplifying and things are more nuanced than this.
Right.
However, these questions are worth really asking. Where am I out of alignment? Which parts of myself do I not own? I had another young woman who really wanted that spiritual, idealistic kind of guy. And she was in a very in-the-box community in the Frum world. And she was getting suggested very typical in-the-box cookie-cutter guys that she couldn't stand. It was not for her. And her Frum beautiful family kept saying, but what you want is not realistic, okay? Then she met me and I went, oh, yeah, it's realistic. You just don't want a bal tshuva,
right?
So I was like, she goes, yeah. But like she had no way of accessing that. And then, you know, it came into her life.
Wow.
So all of a sudden she married, once she owned that she really wanted that part and she was ignoring it. She kind of secretly yearned for it, but she ignored it because she thought it didn't exist. Then as soon as she owned it, the guy walked into her life.
Wow.
So that's an example where I think that you have to look at yourself, lech lecha, go to yourself, and also look at your patterns. What are your patterns?
Yeah.
That'll give you a hint.
Yeah. Wow, that's really profound. It's true. And I think there's a lot of family, there could be a lot of family pressure and different things and reasons why people won't necessarily own up to what they're really looking for. And I remember when we first met, one of the things I really admired about you was how you were so like fearlessly pursuing the truth and clarity and living your best life with like unapologetically. Whereas like I had a lot of family pressure to come back to America and go to law school. And so it was very, very hard for me to like own up to the fact that I wanted to do that too. It just takes courage. It takes a lot of courage to own who we are and what we're looking for and get that clarity. So if somebody's single and they're kind of growing Jewishly, or they're not really sure where they are Jewishly, how important do you think it is for them to know where they are on the Jewish observance spectrum before dating for marriage?
It's really important to know where you're going and that you're aligned with whoever you're dating in the direction. It's more important that you're going in the same direction than even where you're standing right now, right? Sometimes I've dealt with students who were coming into Judaism growing, and a guy who was maybe on the way out, and when they met around the same place, but one's going completely off and one's going completely in, and that's going to be a disaster in 5 years. So that's number one, direction where you're headed has to be aligned. But number two, I would say it makes the most sense to decide where you're at with Shabbat, kosher, and family purity.
Yeah.
Because those three affect a Jewish home more than anything else, and they affect both people in the couple. Yeah. Everything else is kind of flexible if you're open to it. Now, some people aren't open to it. That's also okay. But like, as far as like how often he prays with a minion or whether she covers her hair and how, and all those things are like between individuals and God, as opposed to directly affecting the other person. But Shabbat kosher and Taras Mishpacha, the family purity, really affect both people. So I think it's very hard if one wants that and the other one doesn't. Very hard.
Those three, you need to kind of be on the same page.
Exactly.
Right. I would just say like the more clarity you have about where you are Jewishly, I think the easier probably it is. With everything going on in Israel now, like, have you found people are finding it hard to date with everything going on now or not so much anymore?
I think yes, a lot. The first month, a month and a half, people couldn't think about it because I think we're in shock and a bit of trauma, to be honest, everyone. But at the same time, everything we're doing now, if it's a mitzvah, which dating is, you can use it to connect to the protection of Israel, the protection of Jews everywhere. Yes. You don't have to separate. It's not like the war or dating. It's like, no, I'm going to build homes while Hamas destroys them. I'm going to use this energy and do it Davka specifically to counter it. And even a bad date is really good hishtadlis, right? A really bad date is really good effort towards building something, even if it doesn't end up working. It's fine. It's still a mitzvah. Do it with the intention of I'm building holiness and connection in the world.
Wow.
And I want to do this for you, Hashem, even if it's a bad date. I mean, I don't want a bad date, but even if it is, it's okay. And I'm doing this because Hamas destroys homes and we want to keep building.
That's beautiful. What do you think is the most important thing we can do, married people can do to help singles in the Jewish community?
So many things. Stop judging them as if there's something wrong with them. They feel it, even if you don't say it. Stop looking at them like they're nebuchs, like losers, and feeling like the pity face.
Yeah.
And when a single's at a wedding, they don't want to hear "Soon by You" all the time. They really, really don't. It's really already hard enough.
Right.
Like they're at a wedding and to go up, even though it's everyone's well-meaning, right? Like people doing it from such love and well-meaning place. They don't want to be reinforced, their own pain reinforced in their face when they're there to celebrate the bride or the color.
Yeah.
So I just wouldn't do it. Like, I mean, so that's that. And the third one, which is probably more the most important really, is to really think of who is single in your immediate community and be able to extend an outreach invitation for Shabbat and holidays, because it is so hard being single and asking for every single meal. By definition, you feel like a beggar. And it is terrible. You feel like the biggest loser having to constantly invite yourself places. I did this for years and years. And like, yes, you can find your places that you go without an invite. That's nice for some people. But if you're, I was thinking this morning, who can I invite for my Shabbat lunch this week that's single? I was just thinking that this morning. Sure. So, go through in your head, like, who can I extend an invite to?
Right.
So that really helps a lot as well for singles to feel loved and let them get to know them on other areas of their life. Make them feel strong and that they have a lot to give genuinely.
Yes. Right.
In other areas of their life, because they need to connect with those parts to be able to date from their best self.
Right.
So if it's always focused on you're such a kind of a nebuch loser because you're single, then which is how they feel and how it's reinforced, then when they go on dates, they're going out feeling like the nebuch loser. Like, you can't do that.
No.
Awful. And then it becomes self-fulfilling prophecy because
it's not true. And it's like, right. There's so many other aspects to who a person is.
100%.
So then now just getting a little broader for our last question, what general advice do you have for people listening who are on their own Jewish journey in general, in terms of like their own, just anything about being on a Jewish journey, trying to get clarity, trying to grow, anything like that? Do you have any general advice?
Yeah, get yourself a Rav. Make sure you have a mentor and a Rav, and make sure that you're constantly growing in baby steps, and make sure you have some learning in your life weekly. So that you're feeding yourself spiritually.
Yeah.
It doesn't even you. Otherwise, you just plateau out into like a stale place.
That you happens. That happens to me. If I'm not learning, it's not good.
All of us.
All of us, yeah.
It's soul food.
It's soul food, exactly. Yeah. And I remember actually very specifically when I was at Neve, when I did go back to Neve after college and you were teaching, I think, at the time. And I remember sitting down and making a list with you of like little baby steps, things that I was going to do when I got back to America. And it was very helpful, like, because it can be very overwhelming for somebody who's like, maybe wants to start keeping Shabbat or kosher. I mean, these are huge things, but being able to break it down into very small pieces, you helped me to do that. So thank you.
Right. And if people want to learn any more around like psychology, spirituality stuff, I have a lot of classes and meditations free on iTunes under a podcast called Souled, Souled, which is just more, again, Torah focused. That's when I was teaching in the Jewish outreach world a lot. So I think people like that because it's a lot of psychology interwoven with that. I always taught like that.
Okay.
So that can be, if you can put that maybe somewhere.
Yes, I'll link to it.
And if people want to contact me about any dating stuff, they can do that on Instagram, mainly Jackie Glazer Official, and my website, if you're not on Instagram, jackieglazer.com.
Thank you so much, Jackie. This was amazing. And I'm sure, and I know our listeners are going to get a lot out of it. So thank you so much.
I hope so. Thank you so much for having me. It's great to see you.
Thank you so much for listening. If you enjoyed what you heard, please subscribe, share, rate, and review. I really appreciate it. Have a great day.